Thank you. You know, I was listening to the presentations, and I was initially wondering what the theme was across them all, but I think it really is around engaging the community and how do we address some of the real health issues, health and health disparities in the community, and finding new ways for doing that. My role at Meharry, my primary interest has been in the area of youth violence prevention, and we have learned that traditional, and well, no disclosures, that the traditional research, particularly clinical and basic science research, has really, while it's improved overall health status of populations, it's not decreased disparities. And so one of the, there's been an increasing emphasis on the need to engage communities through CBPR, or engaging communities in the research process, that builds on the strengths and assets of both the academic and the community partners. So the, in terms of, who in here is involved in doing CBPR? Anybody? Okay. So in terms of the principles, we all know the 9 principles of CBPR with Barbara Israel, and it's really, again, it's sort of that the gold standard of which we all aspire to in terms of doing our research. But one of the difficulties in terms of doing CBPR, there's a lot of challenges. Well, let me start there. There's a lot of challenges. Working in an academic medical center, people don't really understand too well in terms of why you're out of your office as much as you are. You know, I work in a medical college, and again, there's really just not a lot of understanding for the types of work that I do and the need for engaging communities to address these really complex health problems that aren't just a matter of finding a new, you know, genetic solution or clinical intervention, but really a lot of it is around behaviors and exposures and changing both the way that they relate to each other. So challenges of CBPR include all the time it takes working in the community, developing trust, you know, scheduling meetings over and over because, again, schedules are difficult to line up a lot of times. But what I have found over the last 25 years, as much as people talk and aspire towards the principles of CBPR, we're heavily weighted in terms of, everything's heavily weighted in terms of the academic institutions. And again, it's usually everything scheduled around our time and availability, around our real interest, research interests, and ability to write grants, get money, our access to data and information and ability to manipulate that. So, you know, while we aspire to, you know, have sort of a balanced approach and we want to create that, there's just some inherent inequalities, I think, and the community a lot of times is just sort of along for the ride. So one of the things that in this effort, as I've worked in communities and particularly around youth violence, is I've found the need to try to create a system that will allow us to get information into the hands of people who live in the community so that they can help us understand what's going on and develop interventions that really address the, you know, that is a balance between sort of what we know from the literature and from other, you know, in terms of best practices and things, and what they see at the community level. And that's, and it really is a balance. I think one of the problems sometimes is academics, feel that community members have all the answers and solutions, and it really has to be a balance, you know, in terms of how we approach this. So what we've tried to do is establish a web portal that we call imnashville.com, and I was hoping we'd have internet connectivity in here, and we don't, so I could actually show you. But I would like to encourage you at some point. It's just that, imnashville.com. We developed it as an interactive mapping tool that really provides access to data and to information not only to academic partners but to our community partners as well. In different types of data, we have data for health outcomes, we have data on sort of the community what we call community assets and resources. We also have data on environmental risk and protective factors. So what we've done on this web portal is we've created three different ways to access the information. One is through tables, and we've done a lot of work on this site on the back end, and so you're not going to see that, but it's really getting these databases and getting them so that they can be used, and they're geocoded and things so that you can actually develop tables of your own in terms of very similar to the CDC's Wonder site. So you can identify the characteristics, and those data will flow into a table. And the difference between what we're doing and what CDC Wonder's doing is CDC Wonder will allow you to look at the state and county levels, and our focus on this is county and sub-county levels. So again, we're able to generate tables, we're able to generate charts, bar charts and graphs, we're able to generate maps and show the dispersion of some of the health outcomes. And in this case, when we focus on youth violence, the data sets that we use are, we have death certificate data, we have hospital discharge data, we have violent crime arrest data, we have Yerbas. All of them have different strengths and weaknesses, and not everything is mappable as is, so there's a lot of manipulation of these data sets, and there's a lot of weaknesses found in them too, because they're not uniform. They like with the police arrest data for violent crimes, they're unable to share data on under 18. And for our purpose, we define youth as 14 to 24. So we have partial data on them. For again, the Yerbas is county level data, so we're not able to map that and generate tables as easily for local areas. And when I talk about local areas, you can use census or zip code, census tracts or zip codes, block groups, but we also have neighborhood boundaries of actual neighborhoods. We have the school attendance zones, middle school, elementary, high school, so you can compare outcomes across different communities. And when you go in to work with neighborhood associations and things, you can talk about data that and pull up the data in their area. And since it also is built on, uses Google Earth, you can zoom in at a community level, get the boundaries, look at the boundaries, pull up the census data, look at the poverty rates, and also show where the health outcomes are occurring. Now, again, some of the data are public, and we're able to display at a point level. Some of the data are not. Some of them are restricted data access, so we have other ways of displaying that. We'll show maybe five cases if there's in terms of outcomes, by census tract, and there's 12 here and there's 17 here. When you can flip it, click on it, and it'll go into a table format, and you can get, again, like the CDC breakdown. You can say, I'm interested in white, black, male, female, age group, type of injury or arrest, etc. So again, what we're trying to do is create not only a database that's on a publicly available web portal, but the tools to be able to, for anybody to be able to use. So as I said, right now, currently, and it was sort of exciting when I was going through the APHA conference book to see that there's lots of different presentations now that are using GIS beginning to use that. It's something that I've worked with for 20 years, and I could never understand why this wasn't a tool like one, in Public Health 101, because it's such a powerful tool. But one of the limitations currently is a lot of these data sets are just discrete data sets, and they're not set up in a way where you can connect them easily. And so what we've, there's a lot of limitations. I'm going to flip through this real quick so I can. This is the web portal. It's not real fancy yet, but we're providing some common information across different areas of health disparities, and the template is around youth violence. So if you click into youth violence, you'll go in, you'll see interactive maps and some of the other data tools, and you can begin to play around with the data sets we have. We also have a lot of social determinants, community resources, et cetera, so you can populate the maps to see where those resources are too, and look at that in terms of the relationship to the health outcomes. So again, what we're trying to do then is create the IM National Web Portals as the hub and link these different data sets together. And by integrating, utilizing existing data sets. There's lots of existing data sets out there. There's so many barriers to accessing them or to making them accessible, and those are some of the issues that we're trying to address. One of the problems for us with some of the data sets, things like programs, community assets, those sorts of things, is that they change. Some are federally funded for 3 years, the funding goes away, the program goes away, and so those data sets are constantly changing. So one of the strategies, we're currently working with our 211 agency to get access to that, so we can build on their efforts to maintain the data set. That's a real important factor. Otherwise, your data sets go old, and if it's not useful, people will start not using it. Other features, again, we're able to calculate numbers and rates at a sub-county level. We're able to support interactive mapping and to use the to allow users to map health outcomes within the context of the environment that they're interested in and show other features of that environment. We can provide, they can actually print the maps and things or the tables that they're generating. And they can also have the ability to label themselves. And we're providing also links to academic and community providers. So I think I sort of talked about this. The data can be presented as point data, can be presented as density maps. You can use quintiles to show different levels of, in terms of density of a health issue or health outcomes. We have the multiple shape files. We also have heat maps, which is sort of the hotspots. So you're able to generate hotspot maps, et cetera, too. Now, some of them, again, we have, as I said, some of these data sets are public, some of them are not. And with the anything that has individual identifiers, we don't make that as public information. We're providing, but we provide people the ability to submit an application and get approval and assign passwords so they can use the data. Heat maps, the problem with the heat map and using with mapping is that you can zoom in to an individual level. And so, there's other ways that we're going to deal with that, but that's the start of how we've chosen to deal with that problem. So the other part of this web portal is where we're going, and one of the really exciting things I think that we're trying to do is by working with community groups and getting them engaged, youth groups, is to actually go out in their communities and generate data sets that are, whether they're community assets or sort of the risk factors, they can go out, they can, if they're interested in, if gangs are a problem and looking at where graffiti occurs, et cetera, they can actually help us begin to collect data that will show where the problems occur, when it occurs, and upload photos, if there's graffiti, broken windows, trash, those sorts of things, and actually map that so that you have something that if you're, talking to the police or you're talking to your elected officials, you can show them what you're talking about. So the future of IM National right now, while we're dealing with youth violence, we hope to expand the model to cancers, diabetes, HIV, infant mortality, other areas of unintentional injuries and mental health. And again, to allow the community partners to actually use this web portal with their own data. So that, and they can do that privately. All we have to do is assign administrative rights so they can use the features and the functions that we have, pull up their own data, use that to analyze it, but not make it public. And then the last point is that we hope to expand that to other states and other regions. So in terms of developing this web portal, we hope, I think, really to level the playing field by providing data and information and the tools to analyze in the hands of communities and allow them the ability to identify who they want to work with and not just to be, out there and wait for an academic person to come out and say, I'm interested in doing this, will you work with me on it? It actually provides them with the ability and sort of empowers them to do something on their own, and they can ask for assistance from people of their choosing. So that's my presentation, and as I said, I'd encourage you, if you're interested, to go to the imnational.com web portal. And again, we're still at a pretty early stage, but most of those functions now were pretty well developed, and you can see where we're heading. Thank you.
Thank you.